Can you hear me, Major Tom? Can you hear?
I'm floating in a tin can.
Far away. Planet Earth to Earth.
It's like we're two naughty children, isn't it?
It is. We'd be terrible if we were at school together, us two.
I know.
Long hot days in the shade of some big old tree, making daisy chains and watching all the honeybees.
Hey Esther, hey Esther, how are you doing?
Oh Jane, you just make me laugh as soon as I hear your amazing dulcet tones speaking to me down the line. I'm all right, yes, I'm fine. I've just had a busy day today working in the community garden and but I've got lots of bee news to tell you.
Just before we go on to the bee news, I remember you telling me when you worked at the community garden, this is probably a few years ago now, that you found a machete, didn't you?
I did, yeah. A very large machete it was, yes.
And what did you do with that machete?
Well, at the time, I was very shocked by it because, you know, it was just in the undergrowth. And I thought, flipping heck, so I rang the police, of course. Well, I rang my dad, first of all, to tell him, because, you know, I used to do that sort of thing, because, you know, obviously before he died. And he sort of said, you need to get on to the police and write to your local MP and all that sort of thing. But I think it's quite an occurrence in a lot of gardens. And this one was massive. And I thought to myself, shall I use it for...
Tom?
Shall I use it for cutting up pumpkins? Because it was very, very big. But no, it handed into the police. It was unused in a sort of sheath, you know. It was grim, actually. But I didn't find another one. But, the garden has developed a lot since then, and I'm back standing in for somebody at the moment and making lunches for everybody and doing a bit of gardening. And it's beautiful. It's called Sunnyside Gardens and it's near Archway. It was obviously an old bomb site and it's just been grown up with so many beautiful trees and plants, and it's like being in Wisley or somewhere at the moment. They've got a fabulous garden there and loads of wonderful volunteers. Oh my God, it's dreamy. It's wonderful.
Lovely,
I know. So today, today I made wraps, falafel wraps.
I thought you were going to say I made rats. I cooked some rats for them that I'd found in the garden. I used the machete on the rats, beheaded them and cooked them, and they were delicious. The residents were none the wiser.
I did see two rats, actually, but no, I didn't cook them. But we talked a lot about what we would have done if we'd had to eat rats, and perhaps we would have done like the Romans did and kept them in a big jar. They used to keep them in big jars, didn't they? And then they used to feed them. They capture them and then feed them.
Oh.
And dormice as well, and feed them up until they were really fat. And then they, with all yummy herbs and lovely green things. And then after that, they'd be fit to burst, these rats and dormice. And then they used to eat them.
I wonder why they don't do that now. Is that because rats live in sewers now, mainly?
I think it was mainly dormice, but somebody said to me it was also rats. I suppose, you know, it was their protein back in the old Roman times, and that's what they did. I mean, you could do it now, but obviously we've got other ways of farming animals, haven't we? Which probably aren't as sustainable as catching your local rat and feeding it up on lovely herbs. Oh.
Well, you see, I had rats in my house, so maybe I should have done that with my rats.
Yeah, but you want to make sure you've fed them for a few weeks on nice, yummy things.
Well, I could have done that. I could have passed some herbs through the floorboards.
You could have done, yeah, and some gnats.
And some gnats.
You could have passed some gnats.
And then laid the traps. And then that would have been good fodder for me and my son.
But the only problem is that unless you'd kept them in a big, ceramic jar like the Romans, you wouldn't know whether they might be eating something else.
What, like poo?
Yeah, poo and rat poison, which actually wouldn't be so edible for you.
Oh, dear.
What's your week been like? You must be so busy.
Well, I'm very busy. My festival, Peas, York and Aliens, opened at Brighton Festival on Monday, yesterday.
Oh, brilliant.
It's been a very stressful time, Esther.
Oh, poor old you.
I know. I feel that it's because it's my first foray into doing an art piece, I found it very difficult to let it go. I've been very kind of nitpicky about it, thinking it's not quite right yet. It's not absolutely right yet. And I'm not sure about this and I'm not sure about that. And Molly and Francesca have swanned back to their respective homes and I am still here. And I've been a bit better, actually, this afternoon. I took myself into the gardens and I wrote my diary and I was a bit calmer. But I have been incredibly stressed about it.
Yeah, I feel like I've gone into a real sort of Julia artist sort of angst. What would Julia say? What would Julia say about my angst?
Well, you know what? She'd just say, look, Jane, you know, you've done a marvellous exhibition here. You know, it's your first exhibition. For God's sake, you know, let it go now. You've done it. It's wonderful. It's brilliant. You're so creative. You've done a marvellous job. Now just let the audience enjoy it. Leave it alone, for goodness sake. Get home and eat your Lancashire hot pot.
Well, I think you should say that, wouldn't she?
Well, I like it. I accept that, Julia. Thank you.
Yeah, come on.
You've got to just, like, be very proud of yourself. You've done a wonderful thing doing this. It's right out of your box. You've stepped right out of the box and you're wonderful at that, Jane. You really are wonderful. Well done. Well done.
Oh, thank you, Julia. Oh, you are kind. So tell me about the bees.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You had your angst and I had my angst too, because when we last spoke, I think I told you, you know, that the bees were pretty defensive and I was just giving them a bit of cooling off time and I'd sent a message to the neighbours to say that we'd caught the swarm and we put that in a new hive and we were just leaving them to settle down. Anyway, so the neighbours said thank you very much and then sadly, one of the neighbours ignored my plea and went and decided to strim their allotment.
Oh.
Anyway, they strimmed the allotment and, of course, the bees went absolutely nuts and they stung her husband and they stung her as well.
On the head.
Her husband, they went in his visor. He was doing the strimming and, I mean, bees don't like strimmers anyway, but obviously these bees were being defensive and I think she got stung or it might have just been her husband, but she's the one who her husband had been stung before. So I thought twice is enough and I was very upset, but I rang Brian, our good friend Brian McCallum, ex-bee inspector, and he said, I'll come and take them. He was going to come to take them the very next day. So I was working that day and got home pretty late and I said to Tom, come on, we're going to have to, like, you know, lock up the hives because, of course, we needed to give Brian the swarm and the parent hive of that. So that was the Manx, you know, who we said last week. Who were, like, taking over, you know what I mean?
Oh, right. They wouldn't like being taken, though, would they? Where are you taking us? This always happens to us. We've done no wrong. We're just defending our territory. All right.
Yeah, well, they weren't too pleased. I was all zipped up, suited up, and what I was going to do is just tape up the entrance.
Was Tom in his mankini?
Yeah. First of all, his shoelace was undone. And I said to him, for goodness sake, tie your shoelace, you know, because you might trip over as it got a bit darker. Because we had to wait till dusk because you don't want to leave any bees outside, you know. It wouldn't be fair on them. Hold on, I'm just going to burp.
Burp.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that.
Oh, gosh. What have you eaten?
I had a bit of banana cake just before and I wolfed it down. Oh. Anyway, so it's come back to burnt me. But anyway, so we waited till...
I just didn't imagine that it was going to be quite as loud and violent as that. Sorry, go on.
I did that one on purpose.
I feel like I'm on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Have you been eating kangaroo penis?
Anyway, I won't do any more.
Just do one more. It's got to end with a three.
Oh.
I don't know how you do it. You see, I don't know how to burp. I don't know when people have tried to teach me how to burp. I just don't know how to do it.
It's easy.
Did you hear what I said then? Did you hear what
it's
I said?
It's easy. It's easy. Is that you? Is that you actually burping or going? It's easy.
It's me burping. Anyway, come on, let's get back to business.
Let's get back to bees.
So, we waited for the stragglers to go in and then we put the entrance in but turned it the other way around so it was blocked so they couldn't get out. And then I got this gaffer tape, but my gaffer tape was, you know, it wasn't great because I wasn't truly prepared because I'd only got the call earlier on, you know, when I was at work. So I got this quite rubbish gaffer tape and I tried to tape them in. Anyway, it looked like it had worked. But then the next thing, I thought with the parent colony, because there wasn't quite so many bees in then, I thought, well, I'll take those and put them back into the nuke hive just to make it a bit easy for transport for Brian. Instead of having two big brood boxes in there, I just thought I'll get them back into the nuke.
Nuke, yeah.
Anyway, oh, my God, they were angry when livid. I took them. They were livid with me for
livid. So what happened then?
Sadly, Tom, of course, hadn't got his bee suit.
Well, he had his mankini on.
He had his mankini on and he hadn't got his bee suit quite tucked in the way mine was. And also he'd put an old bee suit, which, you know, I've not looked at for a long time and I didn't realise there was a slight hole at the bottom. Yeah. And because he hadn't really tucked his socks in properly, you know, and his shoelace was undone and all that. Anyway, he kept saying, oh, I think I've got a bee in my suit. I think I've got a bee in my suit. As I was moving them and they were cross because obviously it was now dark and we had a torch.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the sort of beekeeping anyone would like to be doing, beekeeping in the dark. But
did you smoke?
Yeah, I had my smoke. Mm. Anyway, we got them into the nuke and it all went well, but it was a bit full on because Tom did get stung. And actually, I had quite a few on my net and I sort of shook my net at the end. And as I shook my net, I pushed my net back onto my face and actually one did sting me through the net. That's how fed up they were. Yeah, yeah. So I got a nice sting on my face and I was doing a self-tape the next day.
Oh, did you mention your sting?
No, I didn't. Jeannie said it filled out my lines, so it looked quite good.
Oh, it would have been good if they'd stung you on your lips and then you would have looked like you'd had fillers on your lips.
Yeah,
it would have done. Pamela Anderson lips.
Yeah, oh, it would have done, yeah. But it puffed my cheek up quite nicely, so that was good. So thank you, Bee, for that.
But just only one cheek. So you looked a bit like Elephant Man.
So I favoured that cheek towards the camera when I did the tape. That was my beautiful side. And it was quite red as well, so I didn't need any blusher.
Oh, you'd be like Montgomery Clift, just being shot from one side.
Oh, anyway, it was quite traumatic and Tom was very fed up and he kept saying, which hive are we doing next? Which hive are we doing next? I thought, he's gone, he's lost the plot.
Well, he's been stung, anyway, Esther. Where have you been stung?
We finished off and we had to wait for them, all the bees, to go into the nuke, which they wouldn't go in, and we had to wait. We waited till nearly 11 o'clock at night for them to finally go in.
No, really?
Yeah. They were just out raving and getting
angry.
Well,
they would be, wouldn't they? The man would be angry. Hey, we haven't finished our rave yet. We're not even started it, man.
Yeah, Yeah, and I had to move house in the dark. It must have been very traumatic for them.
Oh.
Anyway, so we went home and we kept our suits on. And when we got back, Tom took his suit off and, like, quite a few dead bees fell out and he had loads of stings.
Did he?
They'd obviously flown up his trousers and he's got quite a furry tummy, so they went for the bear bit of him.
Yes.
And the furry bear bit, and so they stung his tummy. He had a few stings. I think he had two on his stomach, actually, and then he had a couple on his hand through his glove. And then
through the rubber glove?
But that wasn't too bad, but he got them on his wrist. They'd managed, his rubber gloves had sort of come loose and he'd not bothered to pull them back, and so he got a couple of stings on his wrist.
Oh, God.
So in the morning, I had to get up at the crack of dawn, go to the hardware shop that opened at 8 and buy some Gorilla gaffer tape. That's like the stickiest, strongest sticky stuff you can get. And so then I went up to the allotment and there was one or two stragglers who hadn't got in, who'd obviously been out all night. I don't know where they'd been, but they were all night. Yeah.
Down at the Italians, like, you know, we popped in there, had a bit of pasta, bit of linguine.
Well, some of them as well, I forgot to mention this, when I was putting the ones into the nuke, they had a couple of supers on their hive. I couldn't get all the bees off. The nurse bees, you know, the ones that have only just hatched recently and haven't been out the hive yet, they were still sort of all over the small amount of honey that they had.
Yes.
So I left them on that. I thought, well, I'll just leave them to it. And I put a bit of newspaper on the other hive and then I united them with that hive. So I left them with a bit of newspaper. I put the supers on top of that. And so they would then nibble through the paper and unite with the other bees. Anyway, so that was all done. And I think the stragglers, you know, at that point it wasn't raining. So maybe they sort of buy their way into another hive. Usually that's what happens. And, you know, offering nectar or pollen to get through the door. And I gorilla taped it all up. And then Brian came and it rained and rained. The heavens opened. Mm. And then Brian, off he went with the bees and he's taken them to a field. They're going to stay with him.
Right.
Because we can't get any new queens because of Brexit. I told you about that last week. He's going to wait and then he's going to re-queen them in the summer and then bring them back at the end of the summer. So they're working for him. They're in the Borstal camp.
Yeah, I've got to say they've gone to the detention centre.
He's very good with them. He knows how to handle them.
Is he? Are they doing community service?
Well, they're not allowed to mix. They're not allowed to mix because
with the community yet.
Yeah. Word on the street in the beekeeping community, there's quite a lot of bees that are very defensive. Now, there's been no research to be done. But we were talking and, you know, is it because of this strange weather? So the spring, remember when you came, there was some honey coming, they were building up.
Yeah.
Even when Brian came and looked through, there was some honey. I was like, ooh, a couple more weeks, got honey here.
Yeah.
And there were massive colonies.
Mm.
But then we had that freezing cold, sunny skies, blue skies, freezing cold in the wind and very warm in the sunny spots, but also very cold at night. So what happens when it's very cold at night? In the morning, the nectar, possibly, this is a possibility, the nectar can't rise fully into the plant because, you know, the nectar needs to be about around 14 to 16 degrees for the nectar to fully rise in the plants. Well, the bees think, oh, it's a sunny day. It's warm on the plot. It's warm in this sunny spot. They get to the trees or the flowers and they can't suck up the nectar. So they were obviously...
Oh, interesting.
They obviously were going back, eating the stores, eating the honey, these massive colonies, then making queen cells so they could, you know, what's going wrong? We've got a swarm. We've got to move on from this. And then just very, very defensive.
Yeah.
You know.
Because they're starving, basically, aren't they?
Yeah, they know that they can't get this, they can't get what they need. Yeah, or they've got too many children to feed, you know. Mm. So, I mean, this is me and other people sort of...
Surmising.
But I think it is interesting that there's been a lot of reports of these defensive colonies right now.
Yeah. Well, very interesting, Esther. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's hard decision. It was, you know, such a shame to have to move them off the plot. But,
well,
you know...
Well, and also they were working so well before they became defensive. They were working so well, weren't they?
They really were.
And that's, well, like you've just said, and it's very disappointing. It's not like they were the Italians who have been struggling. You know, they've been thriving, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah. But they are. It all is not lost. They've just gone on the holidays to Borstal. And hopefully they'll be reformed characters when they come back. But
I think they'll be so bored in the countryside. They'll be thinking, get back to the city, all right, all's forgiven and forgotten. We just want to get back to the city, right, where things are happening. So boring here, all right, we're going to behave.
They might write us a letter, might they?
Yes. Dear Esther, all right, so we messed up. We stung a few folk along the way, but, like, you know... Yeah. Things have changed, you know, we're going to be better.
Don't reject us. Get us back home quick. We need to get out with the busies, you know. We need to get back to business. Come on, for God's sake. So that's the latest. That's the latest. But it makes you wonder, doesn't it, about the whole thing. I mean, if these bees were in your garden.
Yes, my neighbours wouldn't be very happy, would they?
No. You don't know what could happen, do you? But it was upsetting, but I'm over it now. And actually, I'm quite pleased that it's all being, they're going to be okay. And, you know, I've still got the others.
You've got two colonies now, haven't you? The Italians and the other Buckfasts.
Well, I've got the Italians, who obviously aren't much of a colony, but who knows? We're hoping. Yeah. I've got the other Buckfasts, and I've got another small nucleus of bees. And I'm hoping when I look in there, they've got a queen. So we'll see what comes of them. I've put them in one of Lynn's hives.
I don't know. Do I know about this other nucleus?
No, you don't really know much about it. I've not really told you because they were out of a garden of a local beekeeper who... He was, you know, overwhelmed with his bees. And again, he lived in, you know, back-to-back terraced houses with a big colony of bees that actually kept swarming, and the neighbours weren't too happy about it. So he gave me a split.
Oh,
so that means he gave me, you know, he did give me some frames of bees. There wasn't a queen in there. And so I put some eggs in from one of our hives and hopefully they'll make a queen and, you know, they'll crack on.
Oh, brilliant. That's great, Essie. And what are they going to be called, do you think? You have to give them a name.
Well, they're from Wood Green.
So the Wood Greens, is that a bit boring?
Yeah. They could be, Wood Green. Wood Greeners.
The Wood Greeners. Woody. Have they displayed any sort of personality as yet?
Well, I've not really examined them much. Brian had a look at them. He said they were fine. I've not really got to know them yet. I'm going to interview them as soon as the weather's better, and I'll see how they're doing and what the character is like.
maybe we could call them the splits, as in the slits.
Oh, yeah.
The bander slits.
The splits. Are they called the splits then?
I think we'll call them the splits, as they are from a split.
Okay.
They're a new punk colony called the splits.
Yeah, good, the splits.
The splits, buzz, you see, buzz, it, buzz, buzz, you buzz. See, the splits were an old girl band, so it makes sense.
Yeah, very good name. You know what, that was a very good name, Jane. You're so creative with your naming process. I'm absolutely blown away by that suggestion of the splits. It's marvellous.
Oh, Julia, I do like you keep giving me confidence.
Well, you are wonderful. You're a lovely little fuzzy wuzzy bee yourself. That's why I think you're so nice.
Oh. And Julia, you're coming to Brighton tomorrow, aren't you, to watch Yoking Aliens, and then you're going to host the Q&A, aren't you, Julia?
Yes, I am. I really am, and it's going to be marvellous. I'll have a look at this piece of art, which I know is going to be absolutely fabulous, and then I'll just say this is a wonderful piece of artwork. What can you tell me about it, everybody, you know, and let's keep it positive.
And if somebody offered a negative comment, what would you say, Julia?
I'd say take that bit of negativity and go and throw it out into the sea down on the... That's where that belongs, and the waves will wash it and swash it and make it good. Anyway, God, Jane, we're going to... Oh, my God, we can't keep talking nonsense.
I love that. I just like Julia. I want Julia to do the Q&A. You could come in disguise.
Yeah, I could.
Have you got a wig?
Could I? Yeah, I could find one. I've got a pink one. I've got a pink one, very, you know.
Oh, that's very Julia.
Yeah, it could be. It could be nice.
And you could stick some birds in it. You could put it up, stick some birds in it.
I've got two lovely robins nesting in my shed and they've had a half a dozen chicks, Jane. I could bring them stuck on my head. They'd look very nice and they're very friendly. They love art. They love it.
Well, there's lots of birds in my piece. Lots of starlings flying and birds who are chomping, being fed and chomping on worms. So
I think they'd respond very positively to it, Jane, actually. I think they would respond very positively. It's a good idea. Very creative and wondrous idea, Jane. Full of it. You truly are full of it. Here's to the next exhibition. Come on, bring it on.
Well, maybe I'll work with you on it, Julia.
Oh, yes, come on. Why don't we do a collaboration, Jane, you know?
I think I'm falling in love with Julia. She's going to turn me. So, Esther, this is the final episode of our third series. Haven't we done well?
We have, haven't we? It's brilliant. It just flows by, doesn't it?
So flows by. And I know that we're going to take a little break of 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But will you keep us updated on Instagram of any new, you know, well, I'm sure there'll be some drama along the way. If you could keep us updated before we reconvene in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, hopefully I'll have some bees left by the next series. Otherwise, you know, maybe we could make some.
Well, that's a good idea, with Julia's help.
Absolutely. Maybe that's maybe that could be our next exhibition. That is just full of little handmade bees. And, yes, well, I'll be keeping you updated and... you know, hopefully this colony that I've got will... It had a supersedure cell last time I looked, so they're obviously looking to make a new queen.
Yes.
And hopefully they'll lay enough eggs and have enough workforce ready to collect all the horse chestnut that's out now, and then after that it'll be the lime. So, you know, we've got a lot of wonderful tree forage to look forward to, and it really is... the bees' main source of forage, you know, the in this area, the horse chestnut, and then followed by the lime. So
now,
do
you think in 2 weeks' time I might be able to visit the plot and might we have a little taste of some of the honey that the number one Buckfasts have made?
It all depends on weather. I mean, if it carries on raining like this, then no. We definitely won't. But if suddenly the rain stops, then there's a possibility. Usually by half term, I've got some honey, and it is half term next week. But at the moment, I think, you know, after the things that I described earlier, I don't think there's much chance of that by next week unless the rain stops.
What about my honey?
No. You might have to wait. Let's wait and see. Let's hope for the best and hope for sunshine, because there's going to be, if there's a lot of sunshine after all this rain, that means there'll be lots of nectar and it'll be wonderful. So let's keep positive.
Oh, I'm excited. Oh, well, thank you. And thank you. And happy end of third series, my dear friend.
Yeah, and, thank you, Jane. I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow in the flesh. It's going to be great.
Absolutely. Well, we can report back on that as well and see whether you came as Esther or Julia.
Yes. Oh, okay. I can't start laughing. All right, then. See you in series 4, then.
See you in series 4. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Toodle pippins.
And I'll call you up whenever I'm feeling down.
Queen Bees is written and created by Esther Coles and Jane Horrocks. It is produced by Claire Broughton, Andy Goddard and John Wakefield, and partly recorded at The Hives on my allotment near Crouch End in London. Our title music is Sweet Nothing by Amy Mae Ellis and Will Cookson. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Queen Bees Pod for pictures and videos from The Hive. Queen Bees is a Hattrick podcast.